Regret, remorse, and repentance. These three responses to wrongdoing are all equally as much different from one another as they are essential for mending the sinner's contrite heart. But sadly, we as people usually do a pretty good job of justifying the wrong we do. We say things like, I know I lied, but I'm not a liar. I may have hated, but I'm not a murderer. I've done bad things, but I'm not a bad person. Regret is the emotion of wishing one had made a different decision because the consequences of that decision are unfavorable. Oftentimes, we are just sorry we got caught. Picture this. Regret is the little boy nervously fidgeting with his fingers while he waits for his mother to decide a suitable punishment. Remorse, on the other hand, is a distressing, almost painful sorrow that compels an individual to feel shame or even resentment towards themselves for their actions. Remorse is the woman sitting, crying in almost agonizing pain into her hands as she thinks about the pain her actions have caused others. Jesus told several parables in dealing with remorse, and sadly even those that lacked remorse. Matthew 21, verses 28 through 32 says this, "But what do you think? A man had two sons. He came to the first and said, 'Son, go to work today in the vineyard.' And he answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward, he regretted it and went. The man came to the second son and said the same thing. And he answered, 'I will, sir.' But he did not go. Which of these two did the will of his father? They said, 'The first.' Jesus said to them, or they said to Jesus, 'Truly I say to you that the tax collectors and the prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness. You did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And you, seeing this, did not feel remorse afterwards to believe him.'" Then again in Luke chapter 18, we see another parable that Jesus shared with them. In Luke 18, 9 through 14, "And he also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying to himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like these other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all I get.' But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven and was beating his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted.'" Remorse doesn't end there, and it shouldn't end there, but godly remorse met with humility produces repentance. Paul wrote of this to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 8 through 10, and he said, "For though I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it, for seeing that my letter caused you sorrow, though only for a little while. Now I rejoice that you were made sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful according to the will of God, so that you might not suffer loss in anything through us. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But sorrow of the world produces death." Biblical godly repentance is best described as a complete and unconditional surrender or a change in heart that produces a change in actions. The Greek word for repentance is metanoia, which signifies a change in orientation, an opposite change in direction. John preached repentance and the coming of the kingdom to the people in his day, and urge the people to bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Repentance is the man down on his knees, weeping, begging for forgiveness, and from that day forward, doing his best not to commit the same mistake again. The salvation that we have in Christ is nothing without repentance. Likewise, godly repentance is nothing without the salvation that is only found in Jesus Christ. Peter preached to the people on the day of Pentecost, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." As we come now and gather around the Lord's table and remember why and what Jesus did for us on that cross, let us consider, are we like the publican who thought more highly of himself than he should have? Or are we the admitted sinner, lost, beating your breast, unwilling to raise your eyes towards heaven, begging of God's mercy? Our Father and gracious Lord, we thank you, God, so much for this time that we could gather around your Son's table, Lord, and remember that on that glorious day, Lord, when he went to that cross and suffered at the hands of men as a sinner, but we know, Lord, that he was perfect and blameless, Lord, that it was on that cross, Lord, that he bore the sins of the entire world and each one of us, Lord, that through his death and through his resurrection, Lord, that we can have salvation and that we can have the forgiveness of our sins, Lord. And just please, God, be with us today and help us, Lord, to have that godly remorse and that godly repentance, God, that we can have that sinner's contrite heart, Lord. And we just ask you, Lord God, to forgive us for when we sin and fall short, and just help us, Lord, to not be like the publican, Lord, but the sinner that is in dire need of your mercy and your grace. And we thank you, God, so much for who you are and everything you do for us. And most of all, we thank you, Lord, so much for that gift of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.